What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened, and if you're new, welcome to the table. We are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we may not be an actual play podcast, but we hope our podcast will help you actually play. We are three DMs who create stories or sessions based on a randomized theme and scenario table determined by two D20s. It's a great way to, you know, get those creative juices flowing and flex those DM muscles. With that in mind, let's introduce ourselves, and I'm Malcolm.
I'm your host, Sam, and I'm rolling on the themes table today.
I am the other host, David, and I'm going to be rolling on scenarios.
I can't wait.
I have a question for you two, though. Before we, you know, move forward with all of them rolls and whatnot, which is going to be right here. I had it and it's gone. Oh no. Oh, that's why question of the week's here. What is you guys' craziest derailment?
Does my whole campaign count? Because
I mean, I've seen some crazy ones. Like, there was a I remember one of the first times I ever watched D&D was from a podcast on YouTube, and there was a part in the beginning where they were like, hey, they're like, oh, there's this guy who needs help and whatnot, and they're like, we're gonna talk to him, and like, wait, is there any people here who look like they have like that they're babes or something here? And they're like, no, but there's a guy who's like, have you seen my daughter? And like, is she hot? And he goes, yeah. And you just see the DM just take their notes and literally just throw them away. Just on screen. You just see them just ball them up and go, guess that's done. And it's just like, they're so disappointed because they had this whole other thing planned. And I was like, that's pretty good. But I'm sorry, Sam, you were saying.
Well, so I don't really know about derailments, but like, we do plot shots in the game that I DM, mm-hmm. where I set a timer on my phone, and whenever it goes off randomly throughout the encounter, we all take a shot of alcohol because we're adults, and then I roll a d4 or d5 depending on how many players I have, and they add in a little extra story point to the story, so anything that's not game breaking. So I've had some wild ones where one person was like, I want to steal something off of this person. So and then the first session was like, we ended up at a brothel in a kingdom that didn't have brothels. And I was like, great. Let me pull out names now.
You found the underground brothel.
Right. And I'm just like, this is... Sometimes I'm like, these are really great. Great job adding stuff to the story. And other times I'm just like, what did you think of when you said this out loud?
I like to kind of go by the seat of my pants when I DM, so I don't necessarily know that there is a derailment. There are definitely times where it's like, oh, I did not expect you to do that. Like, I guess the biggest one is I ran an evil campaign, and my party was out trying to, like, collect different religious relics. And so they went to this temple of a really good god and basically just murdered everyone there. And I expected them to try and steal it or to try and get people out, but there were definitely repercussions.
Again, the biggest one that happened for me was in a campaign, my first campaign I ever ran, I ran the gods a lot more like Greek gods. And so because of that, one of them successfully seduced a god and just was like, oh, yo, I'm going to marry this person. So I'll have forever protection. And I was like, you're gonna marry a god and try to join the pantheon of gods? They're like, yeah. And I was like, okay, you're gonna have a wedding with a bunch of other gods around. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, all of them are going to be there for this moment. And they're like, uh-huh. And I was like, I apparently now just have to plan out this huge event where I have all this different stuff. where I'm supposed to have all these different characters who don't like each other all be here because it's a big enough moment that everyone needs to witness it. So I was like, oh god, okay, how am I going to do this? And luckily, through, you know, their own hubris and admittedly intense anxiety from the amount of things I've described multiple times, because all you have to do is just show people not getting along, and then instantly people are like, a fight's going to break out. But, you know, in real life, that's not really what happens. Sometimes people just don't get along. And so, but they're like, they're gods, they're going to murder everything. And I was like, sure, yeah, yeah, if that's what you think's going to happen, go ahead and do something about it. Yeah, I totally had this written. Yeah, play this out, guys, see where it goes. So
that's also the best, just like listening to your player's speculation and agreeing with it occasionally.
Yeah, the best part of that whole event was just at the end of it, which it lasted like 7 hours. It was dumb, but we had nothing to do that Saturday. And so, because it was just like a dropped out of nowhere event where I was like, you were not supposed to do that. So at the end, they were like, so Malcolm, what were we supposed to do? And I was like, there was nothing going to happen. No one was gonna actually have anything happen. The one thing that was gonna happen that I will tell you is that the villain was gonna show up and congratulate you and then leave just to mess with you. But you already even messed that up. So that's it. Like, but it was, yeah, that was the craziest derailment on my behalf.
Very nice. Speaking of derailments, I have a question for you, Sam.
And what would that be, David?
Shall we roll?
Let's do it! I'm rolling on this nice dice that my DM bought me for Christmas. Thanks, DM Nick.
I'm using my same fall-themed Falling Leaves dice.
And I rolled my favorite number on this die, 5.
It's not 20. That's interesting.
No, it's not 20.
Oh, Mambo. Yeah. Number.
I rolled twice as high. I have a 10.
Nice.
So today's themes and scenarios come to us. The theme is man versus machine from our very own David here. And our scenario comes to us from Le Gravy, which is PCs tasked with teaching a class or training a new adventuring party.
I also find this very funny because before this even started recording, I was like, machines, man versus machines by David. I called my role.
Sometimes you just look over them and you're like, man, that one's the one that's going to come up. Like, for me, the one I'm still looking at is the fourth wall breaking adventure one. Man, that's got my head ticking. Just, I don't know what it's going to mix with, but I'm just automatically, I've had to think of so many times where I'm like, how would that even work? And I think I finally found a way that it could work, but I have no clue what it would match up against, and that could always throw anything for a loop, so. But yeah, so when you guys hear this, what are some thoughts that come to mind? Sam, you had a kind of a chuckle with it, so got anything coming first, or?
Well, that chuckle is really because I called it earlier before, but I did kind of think of like an Adventurers Guild type of place. Kind of, I don't know if you've ever watched the anime, Is It Wrong to Pick Up a Girl in the Dungeon? Basically, there's like a dungeon and people go inside of it, but like there's like a guild that controls like who goes where and what and stuff, just so level ones don't get, or like in this case, level ones or new adventuring parties aren't like slaughtered if they go to the lower levels where it gets more dangerous and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like taken to that kind of area of maybe you have a party of mixed levels or different experienced players that are, you know, you're trying to teach new players how to play. So you kind of put them with a grizzly old vet going out and maybe they're practicing with like, it's like an academy type thing and they're practicing with like machines. So like you have machine goblins and such to like, goblins are always adaptive. They dodge left and right and they go with how you're fighting them. So if you're attacking with arrows, they're going to back off and stuff like that, or they're going to try to get into your range. So kind of teaching, you know, going with the teaching aspect of just like using the machines as the tools.
And then David, this was your theme, so that one should be a little bit easier, but with the scenario, how are you thinking about it now?
So, my first thought for this one, and this is probably just because I've been reading through some different adventure paths for Pathfinder. One of them is called Iron Gods, and it's basically, there's a region of the world where a spaceship has crash-landed. It's kind of like a bridge between Pathfinder and Starfinder, the two different gaming systems made by Paizo. But one of the major villains is like this big artificial intelligence. And with this combination, my first thought was, what if like the big bad guy or this artificial intelligence captures your party and brings them in? And they have all of these drones and androids and cyborgs, but the cyborgs aren't really effective at going out and adventuring. And so your people are tasked with teaching these robots how to actually go out and survive in the real world.
All right.
I like that. That's definitely... We're getting into sci-fi again, which I've missed it, honestly.
So immediately when you said AI, my mind went to Weird Al Yankovic. And I'm like, what if the big bad is Weird AI?
I'm in. Yes. Yes, do it. And you can pull in different
spoofs of like Star Wars and Star Trek and, you know...
That's good.
He gives the adventurer parties like all like, it's like, yeah, you got to go talk to the red shirts because they're the ones dying all the time.
Oh, so you can be a little bit of a fourth wall break. That's, I yep. like that.
Weird AY.
Yes.
It could be an AI that misunderstands its name and just calls itself Owl.
Yeah, it's a capital I without like the little hats. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Malcolm? What's the first thing to come to mind for this?
For me? Okay, so I learned a little bit about... Also, there's a bug outside my window. It was very much moving, sorry. I learned a little bit about the realm of clockwork is kind of what I was thinking of. Because they have a lot of machines, but and they're very focused on order. I was thinking very much a thing of training, like... But I couldn't quite put together how these two would match up. I kept thinking more of a Mulan Seven Samurai type thing of like, hey, we have like a final stand. We got to like fight off against these things. But I got to be honest here, David. I love your concept. I am just full force into Weird AI, Weird Owl.
And then if you want to transfer this over to D&D, you got Ebron setting, which is very much like this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're done.
But yeah.
We're done. Great.
That's the episode, everybody. Thank you for listening. Hope you have fun. And remember, roll out there well.
No. So what's the... I guess we can... If we've got the adventuring party, so... Or we've got the PCs playing and whatnot. So what kind of encounters would you kind of graph out here for the new construct / cyborgs?
One of the things that my... I did for one part of my party, because in my first game ever, I tried to put all the genres together, which was insane, but I explained it in a way that made sense. But anyway, there was a cyberpunk town, and in it, there was one point where they were fighting an AI, and they realized, oh, the AI just wants information. So they were like, let's just give it information, and it stopped attacking them. And they're like, cool. And then after about 5 minutes of just talking to this thing, they're like, how long do we have to talk to this thing? And I was like, ask it. And they're like, okay, how long do we keep giving you information? It's like, if you don't have any more information, you're no longer of use to me. So it's just like a thing of like, keep throwing things more and more at them. And you can make it a thing of like, you got to figure out how to escape while also trying to train the things without like, and then that could be a fun thing too of like, if you want to mislead the constructs on how to fight. But then also, the AI has to not be smart enough to figure out that that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's like a whole level of like, we gotta get out of here, but also this thing's gonna kill us if we don't train these things. But also, we don't want to train those things to kill, because then they're gonna be better than us eventually. So...
That could be pretty great.
I think you could also do it where your PCs are now using this as an advantage or an opportunity to train themselves. Mm-hmm. To grow strong enough to defeat the AI.
I think this is another episode kind of like our Kuwatoa one, where it's your chance to have a lot of level ups, but the risk is very high. You're in a situation where it is now your likely to be in a situation where you're in danger constantly, but because you're constantly in danger, you're constantly leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're also constantly teaching your enemy how to level up.
I think you could have, like, a lot of foreshadowing or just kind of little references to this throughout your campaign. Like, it could just be you're walking along and you see a little robot trying to, like, shake hands with a bear because it's trying to talk to it and the bear just destroys it. Or all kinds of little scenes like that.
Oh, so you'd also be teaching them how to interact more as people as well.
Potentially. I mean, it's the way I see it is this AI is trying to, like, go out into the world and just completely failing at surviving. It's good at, like, math and science, but when it comes to adventuring and diplomacy, it has no idea what it's doing. It hasn't been programmed with that. And so you're teaching these robots, like, no, we don't jump down this cliff. No, we don't shake hands with bears.
So do we do a hive mind thing where it is all of this is one AI? Which would be kind of fun, because that way it's you have the overarching AI watching you try to train itself. Or it's a thing of, like, separate consciousness. That's the fun part about robots. That's why I kind of want to keep it in the sci-fi setting, just for that instance, is that you can have stuff like, oh, it is all one hive-minded thing, which can be really fun, but...
It could even just be constructs if you want to make it more fantasy-based. This could just be a big arcane construct that's kind of been without a master and kind of grown on its own. And that's where the artificial intelligence comes from.
I do like that that makes it a bit less malicious by intent.
It's just ignorant.
Yeah, it just doesn't know.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Now that sounds like a way sadder story, though, that it's just like alone and it's like, please teach me.
Well, there you go. You're teaching... So it's like teaching a new adventuring party is the scenario. Mm-hmm. So then we have to, maybe this thing shows up in your town, even if it's like a robot or whatnot, and it wants to join a party. Or maybe there's like two or three of them and they keep trying to join a party. And it's like, one is like, I heal. And the other one's like, I cast spell. And the other one's like, I fight. We make party. And you're like, no, you need like a little bit more than that. Like, you just can't, like, let's help them out type of scenarios of, all right, so this is how you interact with bears. Bears are going to come and attack you and they can hit you twice. So you have to be able to like block twice. And then this is your point as a DM, like this could be a great like session in between session type of game of like, or maybe one or two people of your session can't make it. This is just a nice... I think, moment to have growing your character-wise rather than level-wise, possibly depending on which way you want to go. But I just kind of see it as like a nice little, like, let's teach this new adventuring party of robots how to go. And then later on in the campaign or whatnot, you realize, oh shit, we taught this AI how to fight. And now you're fighting this army and then you see these original, like, three or whatever.
That's really good.
Yeah, I like that. They could be like, it's... Okay, so with ants, they have scouts that look out to try to find where stuff is of use. So I think that that'd kind of be what the three members that walk into town are, just like, train me. I need to understand fight better. And you're like, okay, yes, we'll help you out. And it's like, well, and they could even be like a thing where like, we have gold, please teach. And like, or like whatever, we can produce gold or we can do this. And you're like, oh yeah, we'll help you then. And then it's like a thing of, you help them out and it's like, thank you. And then you just leave and you're like, that was a weird one-off DM. And it's like, ha. In the final fight though, who returns?
And what's really interesting is each of these like lessons, you could just keep a character sheet for this AI. And if they teach it how to deal with a bear, you give them a point in either handle animal or a skill rank in handle animal or like knowledge nature, things like that. And you could direct your party into building a character sheet that's going to be a big bad later on in the campaign. And that'd so be cool. They would face them and be like, oh, we taught them how to do that. Oh, no.
Right. Yeah. And even you can even make this a one shot by having like, you know, this start here for the first hour or two of your one shot, and then you do a little time skip, and then by the end of like how long ever your session is going to be, if it's say 4 hours, by hour four, now they're fighting this thing. and they've gone through these steps of building this character, and now it's like, wait, you just made us build our boss fight? Like, what the hell, dude? I love this thing.
That's the one thing you didn't teach was how to love.
I really liked, Sam, what you said a little earlier about the different, like, scouts that are coming out having different abilities. Mm-hmm. So, like, I heal, I attack, I cast spells. And that reminded me of GLaDOS from Portal, where you have all these, like, cores. So each of these scouts would have a different, like, core put in it. And this is the arcane casting core. This is the divine casting core. And so they go out. And so when it finishes its training, the core just pops out and the body falls to the ground. The core flies back to where the AI actually is. And separate as they're out, they have these abilities in the scouts' bodies. But when they all come back to where the main AI is, it gets all of those abilities back.
Yeah.
I like this.
I like that a lot, especially if it dies in like the training part. The core is always sent back to the host, and then you can have your players hopefully will catch on and they can follow it.
And that's so you're not captured, you're just curious and you follow this ball that just shot out of something mauled by a bear.
Right.
And that leads you to your doom.
Yeah, it's like, thanks for helping. Now it's time to die.
And it doesn't even need to be, like, something that goes malicious. You could just kind of play on what they teach it. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you have a character who really wants to eventually settle down and have a family, that gets instilled in your AI, and it's like, I want to settle down and have a family, but for it to make more versions of itself, it needs resources. And so it has to go out and start taking them.
That's very interesting.
And so you can have this really compelling villain that your party has taught the morals that it's going to use to achieve its goals, but they're not going to be like directly in line because it doesn't fully understand.
I like that. That kind of, it's not a full twist on the party's like goals, but it's a use of it to make it more of a kind of a flashlight on like, remember when you kind of believe this? Well, this is, it's believing that same thing too. Can you really get mad at it? And it's like, well, yeah, because it's not doing it the right way. And it's like, you didn't teach it the right way to do that.
Or if you have a paladin in your party and he talks all the time about, we need to destroy evil. You could have references to, what's the name of it? There's a sentient sword in one of Brandon Sanderson's, or a couple of Brandon Sanderson's books, where it was created and it's a sentient weapon, and it's very driven to kill evil, to destroy evil, but it doesn't really know what evil is. So, like, it sees someone jaywalking and is like, should we kill them? That's evil, right? Like, no.
I really like that idea. Oh, the rogue just stole coins. We kill it? No, you take it back and you give it back when it's sleeping. Like,
I like the kind of Terminator 2 we're kind of getting into here, where it's the thing of, like, teach it that it's just like, you can't just go around killing people. Why not? And it's like, because that's bad. And it's like, but why is it bad? Like, it's like, no, you can't do this. And it's like, but I'm doing what you said. I'm extinguishing evil. And it's like, not all those people are evil. How do you know the difference? Well, you got to talk to them. All right. And it just, like, sits. So you can have, like, things that kind of, like, delay it or slow it down.
It walks up, are you evil?
That's a certain point of view. Good enough.
Evil? What is this?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, making a character that would not understand the concepts because it wants combat training and then picks up on the other stuff. But then it's like, oh, that was instilled in part of the combat training. Like, this is a very good point. You kind of use it like a wish spell almost in a way, where you take very literal what they say. And they're like, yeah, it's like, you got to be like a river. So it's like, oh, they just go down to the water a bunch and they're just like, just moving. They're like, what is that? And it's like, I am being like a river. And it's like, no, no. Grabs a dude, drowns him, and goes like, I am being like a river. It's like, no!
He was evil.
Yeah.
He put pineapple on pizza.
Oh, it's... Stop.
But yeah, I love the idea of this robot not understanding the motives behind the things that it does. Mm-hmm. So it's just learning things to know how to do them. And then it's just doing them whenever it feels like it. Like, again, the idea of, like, questing out to, like, stop evil or to stop good if you have an evil party. And to just be, like, indiscriminately murder. And it's like, no, that's not good. Good is this. And it's like, oh, okay. And it's just adjusting. So, yeah, it's a thing where you could have it. And then also, of course, if you are the type of DM who does big final battle moments, to have these guys come in as allies or enemies, of course, would be great. Again, for a one-shot, it's really great to just have them be perfectly unable to understand, and just that way you just have a fight with your party, and that's great within itself. You can have different versions of them, kind of like different suits or different types, where it's just like, oh, okay, we're going to throw fighters at you. And it's like, oh, we learned how you fight with fighters, now we're going to throw magic users at you. Oh, okay, that's how you use magic? Cool. Now we're going to throw this at you. And it's like, that's the final test of what it picks up. And then it can just leave. It can be like, no, we've learned all we need from you. And then you can have it be where instead of killing your party if it downs them, it's just like, it leaves you there. And it's just like, no, we don't care if you live or die. We just need the info on how you fight. And now that we have that, we can go. And it just picks up and shoots off and goes somewhere else in the world. And you're like, you will need to stop that eventually, but you don't know how to right now.
Yeah.
Because it will always overwhelm you with numbers, because it can shoot out like 90 fighters, even if they're all level 1 versus your level 7. That's going to be hard. Like, so you can do stuff like that where it's like it's learning as it goes, and then also it's got incredible output. But yeah. What are you guys thinking?
So what... Before kind of encountering your party, we need a little bit of background for this artificial intelligence. What was it made for?
So, the movie that comes to mind for me is Iron Giant, which is a movie about, which is not ever discussed within the movie, which is really weird. It's like extended lore, is that the Iron Giant is sent to Earth to kill everybody on Earth. And then it gets damaged, and it doesn't remember that. Mm-hmm. So it's just there on Earth going like, why am I here the whole time? And so you could have that happen where it gets down and you're like a thing where it's like, why am I here? I have to learn. That's all I remember is I need to learn how to fight. And then that's it. And then later on, you can either have it be repaired or whatever. That when the party gets there, that's a good way to do it too, is the party can be like, oh, you're broken. Let me fix you up. And it's like, I must murder all the humans. And you're like, oh no, how undo?
That's good. I like that.
But you could have it be either a maliciously sent thing like that, where it's, and if you, again, if you don't want to use sci-fi elements, you could always use like a, I think it was a few weeks ago or so, you and I were talking, Sam, about slods and how they replace people. And so that would be a fun way to also have it be like a party that doesn't know how to fight or whatever. And they're just like, please teach us. And it's like, okay. And you teach them and it's like, all right. Anyway, we're going to leave, and then they go off and they serve something else and give that information to it. A mind flayer or whatever sucks knowledge out of people. Cool
if you bring in mind flayers and whatnot. I like the robot idea and weird AI.
No, definitely what we're going with. I'm just offering an alternative for people who don't want to reskin. Yeah.
I would do this one, like I said, with like in the, like right after you finished, a campaign or at the beginning of a campaign, and have these new, or I would start with level maybe 5 or 6 characters, and have like, you know, have them be like the top of the top ranked guild members that like you've established with your party and whatnot in your session zero. And then I would just have them be like, all right, you see 3 robots you haven't seen before looking at the quest board, and they look lost and puzzled. You can tell that one has a rusted sword, and there's a really worn-out bow in the other one's hands, and the other one looks like it has, like, a crooked staff. And then, like, you set it up so, like, they know these are new people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start, and that's when you're like, all right. So for me, I'm also very much like David. When I DM, I know the end, and I know the beginning, I know the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the lazy DM method of, I write 3 possible things that could happen, and everything else is like, what are my players are going to do? Because then I just roll with them, And then I think that's just how you have to do it. I would make a bunch of random tables, different things that they encounter. Because if you plan this one too much, then you're...
Your party's going to throw it off.
Yeah. You're going to get derailed, like, in the beginning. So, I'd roll, like, a random table, be like, all right, so one of the quests that they seem to be looking at is catching cats. You know, the typical catching the cats around the village type of quests.
And they deliver a bag of dead cats.
Right, and it's like, oh, no. When they say catch it, you have to catch it alive. Oh.
It did not specify.
Did not specify putting in correction. And then, like,
they mark do it that. With, like, red ink.
Right. But, like, maybe you change your voice up for when they're, like, making the correction, and then they start talking in their normal, like, voice, robot voice or whatever. So then you start layering on, like, oh, are these part of something? And then that's how I would do it. And then I would just keep building with different, like, all right, so you did this quest pretty well. So now let's roll on a different table. Oh, you found yourselves in the middle of five gnolls. And then that's when your paladin's like, die, evil creature. And that's when they start picking up, like, oh, gnolls are evil. And then you start getting later on in the game, after maybe they split up, after you've taught them the basics of this is how you attack. So now you build a fighter who's a, I don't know, I shouldn't have picked fighter. I'm going to go with bard because I know bards. So you teach your bard how to play the lute, and now all of a sudden it's giving bardic inspiration during the boss battle. You know, and so you're building, like, subclasses of, like, oh, you found yourself in a library. So now you've built yourself a college of lore bard.
Oh, gosh. I just had a beautiful image of when the bard teaches it music. It later on just makes electronica a thing. It's a D&D world. So it's just like, yeah, it's got, like, electronica and dubstep and all of, like, all the music that should not exist in D&D somehow existing. And it's like, yeah, it really helps us do better in combat.
Right, exactly. So, like, that's, like, now you're changing the world up, too, because it's inventing things. And now, and say you have a greedy player who always wants money, so now maybe you pick the amount of robots you have that are new going along the same number as, like, how many players you have. So your group is training this new group, and now they have a member who's obsessed with gold because they learned that from your rogue or from your whoever's, like, you know, the stealing guy. So now it can turn invisible because its stealth is so high.
So how do we want to handle players lying to these things in that case? Because there's going to be situations where, like, the rogue goes, because you, like, have parts where it's going to be like, hey, rogue, how much, so gold is valuable? And the rogue's going to be like, no, not at all. Give me all your gold. If you have it, just give it to me. Like,
right. So then that's when you're like, so it just gives it over. And then eventually it learns, like, oh, wait, because you could have a paladin, or you could even have another NPC be like, why are you giving all your gold away? If it's, you know, say you're in a guild and this and the robots are joining the guild, you have, like, the guild master be like, stop giving your gold away. Like, you need that gold. And then it's like, but they told me I needed to give it to them. And he's like, no, they're lying to you. Stop.
What is a lie?
Right. And then you get into that. And then it's like, I learned, and now it has, like, now it learned anger or distrust.
I was about to say, can it learn anger? Because I like distrust as one, because it feels much more robotic to just be like, oh, yes. And then it could just constantly be like, is that a lie? And then just, and it's like, well, no, I wouldn't lie to you. And it's like, that's not true. Humans lie. These beings lie. And it's like, oh.
Activating rage.exe.
Yes. A barbarian rage. Oh, man. Robot. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. So you just have a thing where it's over time, and that can be the big answer of, like, no. Like, that can be the pushover. Okay, so there's the fact that it's like, no, they're lying to you. And it won't happen immediately. It can't be, like, an immediate turnabout. It
has to be something. Everything in this one is, like, gradually growing. And if you're doing it a one-shot, I would just make a list of if players do A, B happens, you know? Mm-hmm. If the players go down to the goblin fight, that's, like, a learning experience for themselves of what happens when you go down, or what the players did wrong, you know? So they're like, oh, this formation did not work type thing. And then you can have it where if like the healer heals someone, they're like, is that a spell? How did he come back?
Mm.
You know, and then that's when they start getting like resurrection spells, or even you can even get do it if like you have a necromancer in the party. Now this robot has learned how to do necromancy.
They have nanites they inject in someone that lift them up.
Yeah. The claw.
I love this.
Oh, that's so good. Or even just at the beginning, when they see someone in your party get hit and your healer goes over and heals them, they're like, oh, you don't discard the body?
Right.
It could be after they murdered all those cats and just be like...
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because like if its arm gets hit and it's crippled or something, it just yanks off the arm and says, I'll get new one. And then they're like, you can't, like that's, I mean, you can do that, but most people cannot do that. And then,
oh,
then
that'd
maybe
be a
it
fun
starts,
lesson too.
Yeah, then it starts learning superiority. Like
oh.
Maybe it starts viewing itself superior, mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh crap.
Yeah, you could have it like rip off a person's arm and then just be like, you can't do that. And it's like,
but it was damaged.
Oh, but it was damaged. Oh my God. Well, yeah, that's actually really interesting, because then you can start having them try to like make cyborgs of increasing people's, you know, like enhancing their abilities. You know, you have the Simic hybrid type thing. You Ooh. Can start doing that now. I'm going to, this episode seems very much of just like a lot of ideas that you can take. So hopefully at this point you've started writing your own and you can like drop us a hashtag FITGDND on Twitter and let us know what you did.
Yeah. Just pull up whatever from this. Cause this is so many ideas that are so like, you could also make this robot good then, or this AI good. And its whole thing is just like, I want to help the human race because they're so weak and they can't heal like I can. They can't do like I can.
But I can make them better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so you'd, like, walk into a town with panicked people. You're like, what's going on? And you walk to, like, the town center, and your robot friends are ripping people's damaged legs off and replacing them with metal. Kind of against their will.
Oh, man. And then they go to your party and be like, friends!
They are better now.
Oh, that's...
That's really ooh. Good.
Yeah, they won't understand, like, the dying in the process, so they bring them back, but they don't know that it doesn't bring people back all the way. So, again, zombie robots. So you just have zombie robots now, or it's just like, oh, that guy who couldn't walk? Well, yeah, they ripped off his legs, but then they gave him new robot legs, but he died from bloodshed. But then they brought him back, but they don't understand high-level spells that are, like, bring the soul back with it, so it's just like they rose him from the dead necromancy style. You could also, I was thinking about this, have it be that they, since they're going to take the wrong lessons from stuff, when it came to, like, say the bards, like, I'm going to inspire people with my music, they can be like, oh, music's helpful, but then they learned Bane instead of bardic inspiration. So it's like, it hurts people. Or they could, instead of learning healing, they learn necromancy, because they're like, same thing, I understand. And it's like, no, you don't get it. You've got the part that makes it functionally the same, but it's not. It's a mirrorverse version where it's like, no, that's almost right, but it's off enough that it's bad. Yeah, this one, there's no real story to this one. So sorry for you guys who normally like stories.
No, we can add some story to this.
I mean, the weird AI is fantastic, and I will love him till the end of time.
So the what I've kind of pictured for them is basically it's something that was made by a, like an Arcanist. Not Arcanist. What's that class? Artificer. So it's someone who's, like, meant to be this receptacle of knowledge to help craft stuff. And there's some kind of experiment that goes wrong, and the Artificer dies. And so it kind of wipes the memory, but it still really wants to learn. And so it's going out and trying new things and learning from its experiences, but it doesn't know what it's doing. And that's when the party comes in.
So, does the Artificer die, or is the Artificer murdered?
Good question. That could be either way. Or are they even dead? They could just be on another plane, and you could have, like, all kinds of clues of them trying to get back and being lost and whatnot.
Oh, that could be a thing, too, of, like, it's sending the robot for help, but it doesn't remember. Its original mission was to get help for its master, so it's just like, oh, well, I'm here. I'm supposed to learn something of other people. Yeah, you can take this a lot of different places. Yeah, I mean, this one's a real genre bender, because you could do this as a horror thing. You could do this, like, really silly. You could do this as, like, a training module I can't think of what... Montage, that's the word. There's a lot you could really do here. Fast level ups.
Yeah. And it could even just be a background thing to your regular campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, there's a lot of ways you can take this one. Yeah, I feel like there's just so much you can do with this one that I think leaving it more open-ended for our listeners is maybe a way to go for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would just roll on the pre-generated random encounter tables to see what happens. And then if a robot goes down, there's a injury table in the back of the DMG that you can also roll on and see like what injuries happen to the robot. And then that sparks your what they learned from that encounter and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then you have like the political counters, like what if while they're tasked to train these people, they're also asked to go and like deal with a king. And now you're like, all right, best behavior, you bow here, you do this, don't do what the bard does, you know, type thing. So it's like now they're like, okay. And then one day your party wakes up and like they're not there anymore. They go back to the guild hall. They're not there. A week goes by. They haven't showed back up. And then you're traveling and all of a sudden you're seeing more and more of these Warforged or war robots popping up. And they're doing things that your party, like maybe one of your party laughs a certain way or something like that. And they're like you just keep hearing your party members laugh with these robots. And they're like, what the hell is this? Like, why do you, or one guy, like maybe your paladin like shouts out, for Melora's might before every kill, and you're like in the woods and you hear that yelled out, and as you're like are walking by, you see a bear cry. Right, like a bear, yeah, copies the battle cry, and you see the bear's dead with like a divine smite through its chest or something, and you're just like, what the hell's going on? And it's the AI now learning from your party, and whenever it has a question, those robots come back up to help it, and they don't know that they're helping it. So it's like it like comes into a situation of how to get gold. So the robots show back up at the guild hall, and they're like, how do we get wealth? And now your rogue's like, I'll show you how. And it's stealing, and now it's like, oh, there's a random increase of burglaries happening. And then your barbarian's like, you smash the door, you take it, you know.
So here's a fun one to kind of throw out there too. Not a thing-wise, but as a talking point. Conflicting instructions. How would you guys handle those?
I would probably just see how... I think those feel like... I would see how the role-playing goes.
Mm-hmm.
Based on how my party handles it, I'd have to feed off of them. I would not plan how the robot grows. Unless it's maybe a one-shot when I do a little bit more planning on it.
I was just wondering, because that was the one thing that came to mind when you're like, hey, when you have them go meet the king, and they're like, don't do anything the bard does, and they're like, but bow, be pleasant. If the bard's a good bard, they're going to bow and be pleasant and stuff still, so they're going to be like...
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, like, if the bard's trying to seduce the queen, or vice versa, or the king...
Oh, no, I understand, but that's because I am not a robot. So all of those internet websites can stop asking. I am not.
I think it would just ask. If it gets confused, it would just line up what the confusion is.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. I wouldn't have it like have like a, you know, a blow up moment of this short circuiting.
Oh, you could. That would be fun. Just every time it.
I was gonna have it not move and just be like, "There's too many instructions."
And then it'd be interesting to see if your players catch on and then start trying to manipulate it to do what they want. And then that's where it learns that, like, oh, I'm being manipulated. These are evil people. Or, you know, and then if you have a party that is, it's coming late to me, but you could definitely use this as a learning moment for your party as well. And if they're murder hobos, this is now where you can be like, as the robot or one of the robots, oh, you are what they call murder hobos. That's evil, you know, type of thing. And then your partner's like, ooh, maybe we should stop doing this then.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It could be a way for you to kind of, while they're training these robots, you could kind of train your party out of some of their bad habits.
Good chance for some growth.
Yeah, I think this is a great one for growth for everyone in participating. DM, players, the robots themselves.
All right. I feel good about this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so do we want to move on to the recap in Synopsis?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Recap. So I hope that transfers well. I don't know if I know how to roll my R's. Recap. The wondrous and amazing has happened today as you meet, like, you know, three robots that are coming in as the idea we had where they don't know anything about fighting or anything about really anything. So they're blank slates for you guys to teach that they just know they should learn. After they learn enough, though, their cores will return back to a weird AI, if you will, and it will slowly gather that information and over time and become stronger and stronger, possibly becoming a big bad or big help in the future. We don't know. There's several different ways that this one can go. There's tons of different stuff based off of how much you want to have the robots learn and in which ways and in what ways that they contain information and what ways your party reacts to them. So tons of different possibilities to go off of here. And, you know, it's going to be good. So hope you guys enjoy playing.
All right. Let's get this synopsis rolling. Your party has just completed a very nice arc to your campaign. They killed your big bad and things are going great. They return to their guild hall to gather their spoils of the finished quest, only to find four confused-looking robots gathered around the quest board. Your guild master comes down and asks your party to do him a favor and just teach him a little because they keep asking him questions and it's annoying. So you pull off the first sheet that they seem to be looking at is how to kill bears. And there, you guys go out to the forest and one robot gets killed. And as the lights flicker out from its eyes, you see a green orb come out of its chest and start heading in a different direction. What are you guys going to do?
Very nice.
Very good.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Filling in the Gaps. Our theme music is Today by Linby off of the album Drive. If you like it, you can hear more of them at linby.bandcamp.com or on the Actual Play podcast, Bombard It. If you're looking for us on social media, this is David, and you can find me at Daedra18, that is DAEDRA18.
You can find me at The Ruler of Rhyme.
I am at DMMambo5.
On Twitter. You can also follow the show at FitGDND or on our Discord server. We're always looking for new themes and scenarios to add to our lists. Give us a shout out. The show is edited by our wonderful audio gremlin, Andrew Brown, who you can follow on Twitter at xnubinator912x. We are an Obtuse Audio Studios podcast. You can learn more about Obtuse Audio Studios at obtuseaudio.com. It helps us out incredibly if you're able to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or any other podcasting app that you're currently listening to us through. We'd really appreciate it. And one last time, I do really just want to say thank you for listening. We'll see you at the next episode.
What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today.
Obtuse Audio.